Okay, we're going to go ahead and get started this morning. And as always, we're going to start in prayer. Lord, we just thank you for this beautiful Sunday morning. You forgave. Lord, we just thank you for this beautiful Sunday morning. We thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your love, and your kindness. Lord God, we know it's only by your mercy and by your grace that we are here today. Lord, so we just thank you and we praise your name, Lord God. We are counted a privilege to be able to come into your house and learn of you and worship you. Oh God, if we had 1,000 tongues, we could not praise you enough for your goodness and your mercy. So we pray once again, Lord, just be with us today. Lord, we pray for your Holy Spirit to come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, fall on us. You make all the difference. Oh, Lord, we pray you break up the foul ground, Lord God, and the hardness in our hearts, Lord God. Open up our understanding. Open up new revelations to us, Lord God, as we study your word, Lord God. And we don't want it just opened up to us, Lord God. We want, Lord God, the power of the Holy Ghost to walk in it. Oh, then live it and do it, Lord God. Because if we don't live it, if we don't do it, we're just wasting our time, Lord God. So we pray that we would have the heart to take it and receive it and live it. And we pray these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we're going to go right to our lesson. And just so good to be back. I really just missed you guys last week. And it's so good to be back. Several things. Somebody left their handout here a couple of weeks ago. It has notes in it too. So I don't know who left their handout. But if that's you, I have it if you want it. If you left your handout, you had notes in it. And also, hopefully you picked up the handout at the table today on wound healing. We're going to spend the lesson, the time, the day in wound healing. You know, I really feel that we need to go over that. Some of you that have been in our class for years probably have gone through it before. But, you know, we're going to go through it again. It's updated. So we're going to go through it again. And, you know, we're still in the lesson, the war room lesson on real accountability. And when we were here last time, we talked about 1 Corinthians 12 and how that the part on verses 12 through 14, 20 through 26 really hits hard on how we are to just take care of each other through the Holy Spirit, how we're first of all supposed to be sensitive and baptized in the Holy Spirit. And in the Holy Spirit, it teaches us how to love each other, how to honor each other, how to take care of each other. In fact, we're kind of commanded or mandated to take care of each other. Do you guys understand that? As the body of Christ, you're kind of commanded to take care of each other. So that's what a big part of this accountability lesson is about, is taking care of each other. How do we love each other? You know, it's more than just seeing each other on Sunday, even though that's wonderful. It's more than just the hugs we give each other. That's wonderful. But it goes even deeper than that. You know, especially in our prayer life, you know, just praying for each other and loving on each other and being there for each other. So today we want to spend the day as we get to the point. There's a point on your lesson, the point under the body of Christ, we need each other. And if you go down in that section, I'm not sure what page that is, but there's a section that says, okay, page 16, when a brother or sister falls, the body of Christ is injured. That's where we're going to start out today. So it says, when a brother or sister falls, the body of Christ is injured. A precious soul that Christ loves, along with their talents and gifts, are lost to us because of sin. So we got to see the gravity of what happens when somebody falls, when somebody pulls away. There is a loss, or there's an injury to the body of Christ. Just like our human bodies, when there is an injury, we take special care of that part of the body, don't we? You know, when you sprain your ankle, boy, you get a special boot or a special cast so that you're protecting that part of the body. Or you're on crutches where you don't put any weight on it. You know, so you protect that part of the body. In our bodies, back to your lesson, in our bodies, according to the knowledge of medicine, we take care of our bodies. In the body of Christ, according to the knowledge of the Word of God and the skill of the fruit of the Spirit. You know, we passed out that lesson on the fruit of the Spirit, that sheet on the fruit of the Spirit a few weeks ago, where we talked about just the different aspects or the different skills that go along with the fruit of the Spirit. We pass this out. And, you know, just let me just read it again. Faith fights, you know, and fighting is a skill, you know, how you fight. You know, we don't fight. We don't use the weapons of the flesh to fight, remember. So you need to know the skills of the Spirit to fight. Joy laughs. Joy laughs in the face of whatever. Joy can laugh because they know. Joy knows that everything's going to be all right. Peace rules, meaning that you let peace take over and rule the situation. You don't let frustration and tiredness and anger and all that stuff. Peace rules. Self-control stops. See, these things come by the Holy Spirit. These are the skills of the Holy Spirit. In my flesh, I can't do this in my flesh, okay? I'm going to keep going in my flesh. But the Holy Spirit, oh, I can stop. Self-control stops. Goodness does. Doesn't depend on what the person did for you or didn't do for you or did to you. Goodness does in the Holy Spirit. Next, patience waits. That means we can be patient and we can wait. You know, when the Holy Spirit is operating in our lives. Gentleness bows. Oh, that humility piece there. Oh, man, that's a big one, right? That's a biggie. That's a skill, folks. That's a skill of the Holy Spirit. When you start letting the Holy Spirit operate in your life, then you can bow. Because that's what gentleness does. Kindness tenders. Meaning that you're kind to people. Again, that's a skill, especially when they're hateful and they're mean, because everybody doesn't take kindness the same way. Some people receive it and some people just look at you all crazy and, you know, and roll their eyes, you know. But kindness can tender that heart because that kindness is not born out of the flesh. That kindness does not depend on the reaction. The kindness comes from the Holy Spirit. And finally, the foundation of everything is love. Never fails. Folks, if you don't know anything else to do in the moment, love. If you don't know what else to do, nothing's coming to your mind, no scripture comes to mind at the time, your emotions are flying high, just love, okay? Just love the person. You might just have to throw your arms around them. Have you done that with your kids sometimes? Like, you know, just let me just hug this child. It's just crazy, you know? So, and you don't know what to say. You're out of words. You're just out of words. Have you ever been, like, just let me just hug you. Just let me just hug you. Because if I don't hug you, I might just hit you. So let me just hug you.
Thank you.
Yeah, you guys, you feel me. So let me just hug you. So again, we want to operate in the skill of the Holy Spirit. So what I wanted to do, this wound healing lesson is a lesson that we've done before. If you guys need to talk, if you could step out, excuse me, if you guys need to talk, because I can't hear. Okay, thank you. So wound healing. So as we get into wound healing, we just want to really talk about this because I think it's so important that we understand our wounds and how we're wounded and how other people are wounded so that we know how to approach them. You know, there's a whole section in medical training on wounds and how to heal wounds and how to treat wounds. So, and when I was studying this years ago, boy, the Holy Spirit, I just know this was just by unction of the Holy Spirit, was showing me this is how it happens in the spiritual realm too, how people are wounded. It's interesting how God builds within our own bodies and the way we treat our own bodies, the way in which we are healed spiritually. So as we go through this, we're going to go through a lesson in medicine, but we're going to apply it to spiritual and emotional or soul wounds. So at the top of it, it says, for the war room class, we will review the application of wound healing to ourselves and to our fallen brothers and sisters. So we can understand their wounds also as well. So his wounds. First, let's talk about the wounds of Christ. You know, and why we can be healed in the name of Jesus. It's in Isaiah 53:5. You guys have heard it many times. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our wickedness, our sin, our injustice, our wrongdoing. The punishment required for our well-being fell on him. And by his stripes or wounds, we are healed. Not will be healed, not gonna be healed. It says we are healed, meaning present tense. we are healed. So this is the reason why we can talk about being healed, because he already healed us. It's just a matter of us receiving it and getting the work done for the healing to take place. So next on the lesson, we define what a wound is. A wound is an injury to the body, as from violence, accident, or surgery, that involves laceration or breaking of the membrane, as the skin, usually damage in underlying tissue. A mental, that's number one. And number two, a mental or emotional hurt or blow. And that's from the Webster's Dictionary. But I want you to really look at what a wound is. There's a break when there's a wound. There's a laceration. Something that once was together is now open, and the substance within is spilling out. That's a wound. And that's why it needs to be repaired, because if everything keeps spilling out, after a while, the body's going to die. You know. So again, just understanding what a wound looks like. And if you can just apply it to spiritual wounds, you know, people just falling and spiraling down, getting worse and worse and worse. It's because of a wound has taken place. In your lesson, it says, with spiritual wounds, the source of the injury is always related to sin. Let me say that again. With a spiritual wound, the source of the injury is always related to sin. While wounds of the soul can be related to the hardships of life on earth or sin. Okay, and I want you to see that, because sometimes we're wounded, it's not because of sin, but it's because our souls have been hurt by something that has happened. And it wasn't any fault of our own, it's just hardships, the life on earth. We will be wounded. I'm gonna tell you, no one gets out of this world without being wounded, okay? We all get wounded in life. So that's why this lesson is so important, so we can understand how to deal with ourselves. Remember what with our first lesson, honest evaluation. So we're still doing that. We always got to revisit that, you know. So in this lesson, we're going to talk about honest evaluation of our wounds, and then we can look at the wounds of our brothers and sisters, so we know how to minister to them. So the next part says your wounds and your brothers and sisters' wounds. So privately and honestly before the Lord, can you or will you list your wounds? You know, and this is your personal paper. You can list them here. You can list them wherever. But I think it helps you when you write things down, you know, so you can look them in the face and just really face what has hurt you. Regardless of where they may be in their stages of healing, can you write them down and face them? For your brother or sister, will you pray for the healing of their wounds as the Holy Spirit reveals them to you? Because sometimes the Holy Spirit will reveal to you the wounds of others. I don't know if you've ever had that experience, but he'll tell you where they're hurt. Sometimes the angriest people are hurt people. The meanest people are hurt people. That's why they got up all those walls and don't want any other humans around them, because they've been hurt. You know, so sometimes the Holy Spirit will reveal to you, and as children of the living God, we have got to see beyond that outside exterior of meanness and see a hurting, wounded soul. You know, because that's what we do. That's what Jesus did. Boy, Jesus did that all the time. You look, just read the gospel, and you just see how over and over and over again, he looked beyond people's outside exterior and looked at the wound. And that's where he worked, and that's where he healed people. And he calls us to do the same. The next part of your lesson says, your soul, which houses your mind, your will, and emotions, can sustain wounds. And that's what we know. Like the physical body, your soul can and does bear many wounds throughout life. In fact, the Holy Scriptures record that our souls are purposely sought after for injury. Do you understand that? The enemy purposely seeks you out to hurt you. You know, I mean, I wish people could really get that. You know, as again, I just really am baffled by people that get into witchcraft and stuff. I'm like, you know, the devil does not love you. He will eventually hurt you. So why would you even think about serving him? You know, so the scripture says concerning the enemy, for your sake, we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. That's Romans 8:36. Now, the apostle is talking about this. He said, because of your sake, because we're teaching you the truth and the gospel, the enemy is coming after us. That's what he means. So for your sake, we are counted as sheep to be slaughtered. And that's why we have to pray for our leaders, you know, pray for, you know, people that are standing in the gap for you, intercessors, prayer warriors, teachers, preachers, evangelists, you know. I mean, I know we've seen a lot of stuff happen with preachers, but why do you think it happens, folks? Because they're under attack. You know, the scripture says, for our sake, they are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep, you know. So we have to pray for them. And then the other scripture says in 1 Peter 5:8, it says, for that enemy of yours, the devil, roams around like a lion, roaring in fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize upon and devour. So he's out there, and we can't go through life all, you know, patty caking. I don't mean that you don't have a nice day and you don't have a pleasant day. I'm saying you need to pray before your day. You know, if you cover your day in prayer, then yes, you can go out in peace and a big smile on your face because you've covered your day in prayer. That's what I mean. You know, don't be prayerless and think everything's going to be fine. No, you've got to be prayerful. Cover your family in prayer before they go out, before they do anything. Cover them in prayer. These scriptures are referring to more to injuries beyond the body, into the soul and the spirit. Your spirit is wounded when you offend the Holy Spirit with sin. You understand? When you sin, you offend the Holy Spirit within you. And you feel it. That's that conviction. You feel, that's the Holy Spirit being wounded. As believers, you will sense when a wound occurs in your spirit. And I know I've felt that. You know, when you've done something, you've said something, and I'm like, immediately, I feel the Holy Spirit was wounded by what I said. I'm like, oh man, I slipped and said that. And you know, the beauty of the Holy Spirit, he'll tell you what you need to do. You need to go apologize. You need to go repent. You know, you need to do both. I can repent and apologize. You know, for the things that you say or do, and you'll feel it. And that means that you have wounded the Holy Spirit within you. And you just go and repair that immediately. Don't let it fester. Because as it festers, the enemy gets opportunity. And boy, we got a lesson on that coming up, folks, on the opportunities that we give the enemy. For many people, it's harder to face the wounds of the soul and the spirit than the wounds of the body. And that's absolutely true. You know, people will bring you their cuts and their broken leg and their, you know, and their, you know, their issues and their ulcer. But boy, if the soul gets wounded, if the spirit gets wounded, you don't hear too many people coming for help. Rarely do you find people coming for help. You usually have to pull it out of them because you see the behavior changes. The wounds of the body are obvious, and most people understand them. But the wounds of the soul and spirit are easily hidden and are only exposed during times of stress or when the person allows it, when that person finally comes to the place of wanting healing. You know, so again, we all get wounded, you know, but we tend to hide those spiritual and those emotional, those wounds of the soul and the spirit, we tend to hide. So let's talk about the types of wounds that we face. In order for wounds to receive the proper treatment, they must be examined and categorized. You know, and you know what I found in the Bible categorizes sin. Now all sin is sin, okay? Sin is sin, okay? In God's eyes, no sin is greater than another sin, but he does categorize them. You know, in the scripture that we were reading about sexual immorality, I was reading the scripture about that, and it categorized that one. He said, because you're sinning not just against your spirit, you're sinning against your body, you know. So it categorizes. And when you look at, I put those here, Revelation 21, and it just categorizes these sins, idolaters and liars and sexual immoral. You know, it just categorizes sin in different categories. So it's important that you categorize what sin am I dealing with? You know, what spirit? Because then you can understand what spirit you're dealing with. You know, if you have an issue with sexual immorality, then more than likely you're dealing with the spirit of lust that's bothering you, that's hindering you. You need to call it out in the name of Jesus. And I take authority over you in the name of Jesus. you know, that you got to call these spirits out so they, because they like to stay hidden. They like for you to think that it's all you. You know, it's just you. That's just the way you are. But he's a liar. The enemy's a liar. And you got to call him so. I'm a child of the Most High God, and I cast this spirit away from me in the name of Jesus. That's what you've got to do. So, again, before you can treat it, you got to examine it and categorize it. In medicine, you got to examine it first. You can't just throw a Band-Aid on a wound. You got to look at this wound, see how deep it goes, know all these different things. So as we go back to your lesson, can you categorize the wounds you have obtained in your life? Some may have occurred long ago and are long healed, while others continue to fester in your soul. And I'm not talking about picking open a wound that's healed. If God has healed that wound, leave it alone, okay? God has healed it, leave it alone. Okay, I'm talking about stuff that's still going on, festering. You know, stuff that's still festering in your life that you need to deal with, that holds you. Because some people are stagnant in their spiritual growth because they won't deal with wounds. They won't let Jesus touch it, won't let anybody touch it. You ever have a child that has an injury and you're trying to see it and they will, you know, they don't want you to touch. That's the way we are. Don't touch that, Jesus. Don't. I don't want to talk about that. You know, so it got to be a point where you've got to let treatment come. So you got to categorize it. Is it still festering in your soul? Still, other wounds are fresh and have not yet been attended to. Yet to be attended to. Although this exercise may be painful, it will help you to know your own heart and thus your vulnerabilities. You've got to know that a wound makes you vulnerable. The enemy knows you have it. He gave it to you. And, you know, so he's looking to go in there and mess with that wound. He'll press you on the hurt spot because it makes you vulnerable. But you know, you ever have a healed wound? Healed wound, that scar is tougher than the other tissue. You ever realize that? You know, people that have been through stuff and they come back with their testimony. Honey, the enemy's not going to mess with them in that area because they have been healed, set free, delivered. They have done research. They know the spirit that operated. And the enemy won't come at them with that. You know, because if you look at a scar, I got a scar on my arm right here. This happened when I was 13 years old. Still got that scar, you know. And it's tougher than the other tissue, you know. And I don't have to, you know, so that's the way scars are. Yes, they're there, but yes, they make you tougher. So again, these wounds make you vulnerable. So let's talk about the different types of wounds we have. Superficial wounds. Those are minor offenses, usually from words spoken by another person. An offense, somebody said and slipped something, said something, hurt your feelings. Superficial. You can let it go if you would. But just understanding, it's a superficial wound. It's a minor offense. Usually comes from words. If somebody did something that was minor, really no big deal. And then there's jagged wounds, deep jagged, very noticeable, involve a tragedy or a great loss. You know, as I said, this is the wound that can happen in the soul where you have lost someone, loved ones. You've lost somebody. You've lost, or you had a great loss. You lost your job. Something got lost. You lost your home. You know, and your soul is wounded. It's deep and it's jagged. It's very noticeable. Everybody knows about it. You know, one of those jagged wounds that are out there. And then they're the small penetrating wounds, the hidden wounds. They're hidden but damaging. It's almost like a gunshot wound, you know? Like a gunshot wound, when it first happens, most people don't even notice it. Because it's just a small penetrating wound. It may have come in and gone out, you know, and you don't notice it until the blood starts coming out. Then you're like, oh, okay, I've been shot, you know. And some of us have those types of wounds. They're hidden, but they're damaging. Done a lot of damage, hit you through and through, hit those internal organs that you have hidden, but they're there. So these are the wounds. Back to your lesson. These are the wounds we try to tell ourselves are of no consequence to us, but yet they have broken our hearts or damaged us spiritually and will affect many areas of our lives if left unaddressed. Okay, so looking at those types of wounds, and we're going to come back, we're going to, later on, we're going to talk about just the treatment of these different types of wounds. But let's look at the lay of the land of human existence, you know, just showing a visual of who we are as beings on planet Earth. So we are made up of body, soul, and spirit, and understanding that. To understand spiritual warfare and healing, you must understand how these three entities relate to each other within ourselves. They're all together in these bodies. We have these three entities. Spirit is a place touched by God alone through His Holy Spirit. So that spirit part of you, God reserves in every human being just for Himself. You know, and you're talking about, what about people that are demon possessed? People that are demon possessed in their soul. I mean, in their soul part, mind, will, and emotions. But the spirit still is preserved. That's why they can be delivered. Because the spirit, still Jesus Christ can come into the spirit and they can get delivered. You know, so that spirit part of you, when you accept Jesus Christ, that's where He goes to live, in your spirit. The Holy Spirit is in there. And as you see in that diagram, that Holy Spirit part of you can penetrate to all the other parts of you. And that's how people can get delivered. Now, the soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. You know, and that's where you have your free will, and that's where you can operate and do whatever you want to do with your body and tell your body what to do. You know, so that's your mind, your will, and your emotions. And then finally, your body, or their physical packaging, what everybody sees, who you are. You know, they rightly identify you by your physical packaging. This is just packaging, guys. You know, and so we identify you. You're identified in the world by your physical packaging. But you make up, all of these entities make you up. You know, people know you from a distance because of your physical packaging. And they also, when they get to know you, they know you by your mind, your will, your emotions, how you are, your personality. And they get to know you a little better. You know, so this makes up all of us. And I just put some scriptures here to kind of support, you know, this relationship. You know, and I want you to see this relationship, how the spirit can affect any part of you. The spirit can even affect your body. The spirit can affect your soul. You know, the soul can affect the body. See the lines of the soul going out to the body. You know, when you are upset, when you are depressed, it will affect your body. We know that. You know, there's a whole group of illnesses in medicine called psychosomatic illnesses. And they're called psychosomatic because they come from what happens in the mind. You know, and it's just the whole field of psychiatry. That's one piece of it. But another piece of it is diagnosis like ulcers. Ulcers come from stress. Too much acid in the stomach, you know, causes an ulcer. That's called a psychosomatic illness. Heart attacks caused by stress. You know, that's where they occur, when people are very stressed out, you know, can be a psychosomatic illness. And so many other things that can happen. You know, when you're upset, what happens to your body? You get a headache, very physical thing. You know, migraines, the blood vessels going into spasm, and it comes from stress. You know, it happens in the soul. That's the soul part of you. Your mind, your will, and your emotions can affect your body. So you see these lines of the soul can affect the body, you know. So again, we can see that the body is kind of subject to everything, you know. And of course, the body can have its issues too. The body can also affect the soul, you know, because if the body is injured, you know, that can cause people to be depressed. That can cause people to be upset, you know. So the body can affect the soul, so they can go back and forth in their relationship. But the spirit, you see that spirit part of you, see, can overcome anything. That spirit can affect all parts of you. And that's why Jesus said to him who overcomes, to her who overcomes, you know, he knows that the spirit he places in you can overcome the soul. And the issues of the soul and the spirit he placed within you can overcome the issues in the body. You know, so again, we want to look to the spirit. And that's why we want to feed our spirit and fight within the spirit. You know, that's why you can't fight the enemy in the soul and the body. He's laughing at you. Because you can't, how are you going to affect him? He's a spirit. So you cannot affect him in your mind, will, and emotions and in your body. You're going to affect him in the spirit. When you get into the Holy Spirit and when you get in prayer. And, you know, the effectual, that scripture that says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Folks, let me let you understand. Fervency is not in your abundance of words when you're praying. Fervency is in the abundance of the Spirit. That's an effectual, fervent prayer when you have invited the Holy Spirit into your prayer life and you're praying in the Spirit, then you're making some headway. Folks, and we need to really understand that, what it means when an effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, of a righteous woman, avails much. So again, these are the scriptures. Psalm 23:3 says, "He restores my soul." That's the picture you're seeing. The Holy Spirit will restore your soul. Psalms 121:7 says, "The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul." Romans 8:2 says, "For the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, the law of our new being, has freed us, freed me from the law of sin and death." You know, the death and the sin that's in our soul. The Spirit saves the soul. And then finally, 1 Corinthians 16:19. "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is within you, whom you have received as a gift from God, and that you are not your own property?" So again, I just want you to always have a picture of yourself in this picture, that you're seeing the Holy Spirit, that he can overcome anything going on with you. He can overcome. So again, just understanding the lay of the land of human existence. Now, let's get into restoration and healing peace. Christ can restore and preserve your mind, your will, and emotions through any disappointments or tragedy. Christ can set you free. You know, note the story of David. David's spirit talked to his soul and encouraged it to trust in God. And that was interesting. When you look at Psalms 42:11, there's a conversation going on there. And you're like, okay, who's talking to who? You know, David is actually, his spirit is talking to his soul. "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God." Boy, that hit me. I'm like, boy, his spirit is encouraging his soul. "Why are you cast down? Mind, will, and emotions? Hope thou in God." You know, have you ever done that? I mean, I'm telling you, turn on that praise and worship. "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you looking so long-faced because of what happened? Hope thou in God." You know, and that's your spirit man talking and getting this stuff. Don't hang your head down. There were times, I'm telling you, in the last few months, I didn't want to get out of bed. I didn't want to face the day. You know, and my spirit said, "Get up. Hope thou in God. He's brought you this far. What makes you think he's going to leave you now? He doesn't do a half." I mean, my spirit would just talk. "He doesn't do a half-baked job. He does the whole job. So get up. We got work to do." And boy, I got up, and I'm so glad I did. So glad I did. Because we did finish. He did finish. He took us all the way to the finish line. He did exceedingly abundantly above what I could ask or think. But first, I had to get up. So sometimes we have to get up, guys. You got to talk to your, let their spirit man, and you'll know it's your spirit man. You'll know it's the Holy Spirit talking, because the Holy Spirit will be quoting scriptures. The Holy Spirit will be bringing up songs. I don't know if you ever woke up and you had a song in your spirit. The Holy Spirit joined with that song. I mean, sometimes I just wake up and I hear it. "He's a good, good father." As soon as I wake up, I'm like, where did that come from? You know? And I just join with it. "It's a good, good father." I've learned that's my spirit. Agree with it, because your spirit doesn't sleep. The spirit doesn't sleep. The spirit is waiting. Wait for it to get up so we can go again. You know? Because so, Jesus in the spirit. Jesus there. Jesus is like, "Wait for you to get up. I know the body got to rest and the mind got to rest." You know, we go. We just wait. You know? So you wake up, you know? I'm telling you. And listen to your spirit.
you know, you can hear your spirit singing in the morning. I'm like, you ever hear that? Like, where did that come from? Spirit. And listen and agree with it. Okay, spirit. His spirit. Well, I'm telling you, your spirit will, you know, enhance. I remember back in the day, we lived in Tulsa. They would have that confession. This is my Bible. I have what it says I have. You guys have heard Joel Osteen says, I can do what it says I can do. And, you know, and all of that. And I remember that. And I was like, Lord, I got to start doing that again. I had gotten away from doing that. I went home to Atlanta. Man, I'm telling you, before my sisters left and when they came, they said, you will be blessed today. You will be blessed going in and you will be blessed going out. You will have favor with God and with man. And they just, I'm like, oh, wow, praise God, you know? And I was like, wow, which is amazing. I said, what if we did that in our family? Just walk up to your family member before they left. You are blessed today. You are blessed going in and you are blessed going out. You have favor with God and with man. God has got you. God will bless you. You know, and it was just so beautiful. You know, and I'm like, that's the way the body of Christ is supposed to operate. We're supposed to be blessing each other. You know, you might even have to text somebody. And I wish Rose was here. Rose Hicks. You know, Rose be texting people in the morning. You know, it's like 6 a.m. and Rose be texting people. be texting them scripture, you know. I said, praise God, the body of Christ is up, honey, praying. And it blesses me because I'm like, I'm not the only one up praying. The body of Christ is up, folks. Get ready for the day. You know, so again, folks, let your spirit rule, okay? That's what it means. That's the fruit of the spirit is coming from your spirit. Let the fruit of the spirit rule your day. Don't let your body rule your day. Oh, God, don't let the mind, will, and emotions rule. Don't let those emotions, man. Those emotions will mess you up. I'm a witness, honey. The emotions will mess you up. You won't have any friends by the end of the day if you deal with emotions. Okay? Yo, God. Yeah, so anyway, so David, getting back to David, how he his spirit, man, talked to his soul. Why are you disquieted? Hope thou in God. And so I want you guys to start doing that. Talk to your soul and tell your soul that it's going to get up in line, get in line with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit today. David corrected himself as an act of his will. He initiated his own healing from sin by prayer. His passionate prayer for the Spirit of God is recorded in Psalm 51, 10 and 12. He said, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and make me willing to obey you. Oh, man. Oh, what a powerful prayer. See, David, he was like, yes, I messed up, man. I committed adultery and I committed murder, but Lord, created me a clean heart. You know, you can initiate your healing in prayer. You don't have to wait for the pastor to come lay hands on you. You don't have to wait to confess to 10 people what you did. Honey, initiate your own healing. Create me a clean heart. Lord, I messed up yesterday. Create me a clean heart, oh Lord. Renew a loyal spirit within me. And the Lord, y'all, yes, we talk about him all the time, how the Lord healed him and healed his life. He went through some things, but the Lord healed his life. David was adamant about maintaining his relationship with God and the health of his spirit through his mistakes and through the death of his child, even when his child died. You know, remember what they said? David prayed and prayed and prayed. The prophet told him what was going to happen because of his sin. That the child was going to die. David prayed and prayed and prayed. And when the word came that the child had died, David washed his face, got up, and ate. Because he was like, I got to go on with God. Because his spirit man. And see, that was spirit man doing that. Spirit man. Like, got up. Get up. Yes, it happened. Yes, it's done. Get up. Because we serve. You see, guys, you got to see. We serve a God of the eternal. And when that is spirit in you, which is eternal, it sees eternity. It doesn't just see this life. Yes, people are going to come and go in this life. But you've got to see eternity where we all will be together in eternity. And that's what we're going for. We want everybody to be together in eternity. So blessed are the saints that die in the Lord, the scripture says. Because we're going to see them again. And they're at their rest. They would come back here if they could. They wouldn't. So again, you know, David, the child, you know. So the next point says, can you recall a time of spiritual injury in your life, an event or incident that led you to draw away from God? Wow. And I think, you know, we've all been there, you know, in our Christian life. I don't know if, well, maybe, I don't know. I've been there. It was so impactful. It hit so hard. It was like, you know, sometimes the enemy has a fiery dart, and sometimes he comes at you with a bazooka. I don't know if you've ever been hit by a bazooka by Satan. I mean, it was the enemy. It was the enemy. I mean, just boom. And he's like, get up from that one, you know. But I remember at that time in my life, I remember the Holy Spirit just whispering to me, now we'll see what you really believe. You know, because see, I can get up here and talk a good talk, folks. But when it hits my life, how do I behave? See, that's where we live. See, the Lord will take you where you live. You can talk all your talk if you want to. You can sing all your praise and worship. You can do all the things you do for God. But when the enemy comes at you, now we'll see what you really believe. You know, at first, when I first heard that, I was like, oh, that's just the enemy trying to torment me in the middle. And then I realized, no, it's the Holy Spirit. Now we're going to see if you really trust me. Now we'll see if you really love me. Now we'll see. And boy, wow, it was a long journey. It was a long journey, but the Holy Spirit brought me back. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Because he takes us through these things. Through spiritual injury, but he is right there with you, you know, as the enemy comes at you. So now we come to this next section. How do wounds heal? How do these spiritual wounds heal? In medicine, wound healing is classified by what is called intention, or ability to heal. This intention is broken down into three wound healing categories. Let's take a look at each of these categories as they clearly reflect our emotional and spiritual healing. God is so wise in giving us examples of his ways all around us and often up close and personal within our own bodies, because some of us, we've been through these types of healing processes. So let's look at it in a spiritual sense. Okay, primary intention. Number one refers to the type of wound that can be closed immediately. It is superficial. This is our superficial wound. It has occurred recently, usually within 8 hours in medicine. If a wound has occurred within 8 hours, they'll close it immediately. If you tell them it was over 8, 12 a day ago, okay, we can't close it now. Because it's assumed that it's infected, because it's been open too long. So if it's within 8 hours, it has a low risk of being contaminated by infection. Most wounds that occur of this type, because usually when we have a bad wound, we're right over to the doctor. We're to the ER. You know, we need stitches. We're there. And so we get there within 8 hours. They just have to rinse it out, clean it out, and they can close it. The Bible says this concerning these type of wounds. Look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. And that's Hebrews 12:15. Now, how does this apply? This applies because often these superficial wounds, they can be closed up immediately. They can be closed up forgiveness. Just put some forgiveness balm on it and go on, folks. Put a forgiveness bandage on it. Okay, and go on. But if you don't let it close, if you keep it open, keep picking at it, keep it open, don't seek any help, don't forgive, and you leave that thing open, I'll tell you, it's going to get infected with a root of bitterness. It's amazing how the Bible just talks about this stuff. Look out, watch out, meaning that it doesn't have to happen if you watch out for it. It happens because you're not watching out for it, and you allowed a poisonous root of bitterness to set up in you because you didn't forgive something and let it go. Let it go. In light of eternity, it doesn't matter, folks. All right, say in 100 years, will it even matter that they looked at you funny? That they didn't greet you, you know?
I thought they were going to give me that gift, and they gave me this gift. They gave me a little gift. And they gave her the big gift.
Really? Come on, folks. Come on now. We fight demons. We ain't got time for this.
So again, roots of bitterness that we got to let go. You know, as the scripture says, it's the little foxes that destroy the vine. Little things, slights. You ever seen people that are just so sensitive? Just every little thing, just sensitive. You know, pray for them. Because they probably got all kind of roots of bitterness in them. Things that could have just let go. Not a big deal. So again, the scripture says, watch out. Can you identify a root of bitterness in your soul? Is this a wound that can and should be closed immediately? You know, it may not be too late. Just close it. Forgive it. If you haven't acted on it, you haven't done anything, then close it. Forgive it and let it go. You don't have to bring it up. You don't have to get an apology. You don't have to get an explanation to your satisfaction. Then I can forgive it. Folks, that's not required. The Bible does not say that's required for you to close that wound. All it says is forgive. Forgive. Forgive your brother his trespasses as I have forgiven you. It doesn't say forgive your brother only if they apologize and only if they are sincere about the apology and only if they explain why they did it to your satisfaction, then you forgive them. It doesn't say that. I'm sorry, it doesn't. There's no corollaries. There's no, you know, drop down menu on that one, okay? You know, it just forgive, folks. So you just have to forgive. You know, and that closes a primary intention wound. Philippians 4, 8, and 9, in your lesson it says, think on these things. And again, often you have to keep your mind off of the issue because the enemy will keep trying to bring it up and put it in your ear over and over. Remember last time you saw them? Remember what happened? The enemy. Folks, think on these things. The scripture says in Philippians 4, 8, and 9, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise. And I argued with God on this scripture for a long time. I'm like, we can't just be thinking about the good stuff all the time. We need to be thinking about what these people are doing so we can solve it and we can deal with them. And I learned, you know, the Bible is right, folks. You got to think about all that stuff. It just brings up more heartache and more issues and bitterness, you know. That's why the scripture says pray without ceasing. When it comes up, just pray. Pray. And people say, well, how can you pray without ceasing? Get some praise and worship going. Praise and worship is prayer. Do you understand?
Yes.
Those songs are prayers. You're a good, good father. That's who you are. Who are you talking to? Jesus. God. Those are prayers. So if it's on your mind, folks, get some praise and worship going. I had to start to keep praise and worship on in my house all the time. I have to keep it on. I have to keep it on. When I wake up, I want to hear it. It's because the enemy will take my mind to something, you know, and it's usually something negative. You notice how your mind never drifts on to something good. It's always something that you got to deal with, you know. Oh, it's the enemy. So pray without ceasing. And 2 Corinthians 10:5 talks about casting down imaginations. Because half the stuff he's putting in your head, not even half, I'd say 90% of the stuff he's putting in your head are lies. He will lie to you about people. He will tell you people are doing things that they are not doing. That's what he does. Strife, division. So he places thoughts in your mind so you walk into that person, walk up to that person with an attitude, and they haven't done anything. It was all a lie. I'm telling you, you got to cast down imaginations and close these wounds, these primary wounds, these little slights. Well, you know, they looked at me funny, so I know what they're going to do now. They're going to do this and this and this and this and this, and the enemy's got you all down the road on something that didn't even happen. Their mind was on other things. That's why. That's why they did what they did, is that their mind was on other things, and they didn't even see you there. You know? So again, folks, close those wounds. Let it go. Secondary intention. As the name implies, this wound type needs secondary measures to heal. Its level of damage goes beyond the superficial into the deeper tissues of the body. These wounds must be cleaned before they can be closed, or infection is inevitable. Okay? This is a wound that you've got to go in, and you got to cut some things out. And sometimes that happens. You know, your family's been wounded, and some things have got to go if the family's going to heal. You know what I'm talking about. Things, sometimes situations, certain things have got to be cut out before the healing can take place. And this is a wound by secondary intention. Beloved, God called, loves you so much, loves you too much to leave you infected. He is determined to pursue your healing. God, the God we serve, is holy, and he will stand for nothing less than your complete healing before him. He will bring you to the place of cleansing those wounds, even when you would rather deny the truth of these wounds. I'm telling you, stuff that you got to let go of. You know, habits you got to let go of. Relationships that you got to let go of, or you can't heal. You got to let them go. He is relentless in bringing you to deliverance. And he'll keep working on that, even though you want to hold on to, because some things, it's an infection. The wound can't heal until that thing is cut out. And so that's what the surgeon goes in. He cuts out, you know, dead tissue. Sometimes there's dead tissue, you know, like when someone is burned. When there's a burn, you know, you can't just close up a burned area because the tissue is dead. You got to cut out the dead tissue if that person is ever going to heal. If you leave that necrotic tissue, the whole person's going to die. You got to cut out the dead tissue. And sometimes we got to do that. You don't want it. You want that. We don't want to lose that tissue, but you got to let it go. So that's healing by secondary intention. Even with complications, I just wanted to make that point. Even with the complications, sin is complicated. And sometimes we say, well, I can't do this, I can't do that, because it's complicated. It goes into this, and you hear people say that all the time. Oh, it's complicated. You know, and sometimes people use that as a cover, that I don't want to change. So they say, oh, I would do that, but, you know, it's complicated. Well, God can deal with complications, okay? There's no complication under heaven that God cannot deal with. You know, you just have to give it to him. So what are some of the cleansers? What are the cleansers? What cleansers does the Holy Spirit need to apply to your wounds or to your brother or sister's wound? And again, we want to look at our brothers and sisters too, you know, in primary intention and in secondary intention. When they're wounded, you know, encourage them toward closing their wounds. Oh, don't, just forgive it. Just forgive it. You know, I'm sure that they probably didn't mean that. Just forgive it. Encourage people in that so they're not festering over what somebody did or what somebody said. So in the secondary intention, back to what cleansers does the Holy Spirit need to apply to your wound or to your brother and sister's wound to clean it? Forgiveness. Again, it always pops up over and over again. Forgiveness. Repentance. Repentance. Got to repent of stuff. You know, let stuff go. Cut stuff out of your life. You know, and forgive it. Some things have to go. So again, these are some of the cleansers that the Holy Spirit can use and that will use to clean you up. Repentance just requires owning up to the sin and then giving it to Jesus. Okay? So that's what repentance is owning up. Don't blame anybody anymore. Own up to the sin and then give it to Jesus. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what you can ask or think and get you past that. And then the question is, as we go on in our lesson, what about the offender? What about the person that hurt you? Because that always comes up, and, you know, yes, I'm wounded, yes, I want to let it go, but I still got the offender in my life. We often believe that our healing would come if we would just make the offender, the person who hurt us, pay in some way for what he or she has done, or at the very least, if they would apologize and acknowledge the hurt they've caused. The truth of the matter is that true healing requires only your open heart before God. I want to take that with you, you know. And again, make decisions. Sometimes you do have to make decisions. Sometimes you do have to make changes Sometimes you do have to cut things out of your life and people out of your life sometimes, you know, so that you can heal, you know. So pray and ask the Holy Spirit what you should do and how you should proceed, how you should go forward. When a surgeon is removing a bullet from a victim to save his life, he does not require the shooter to be present, does he? Just have to get the bullet out. Okay, so I want you to see it that way, you know. If that was the case, many people would die. Let God deal with the shooter. Okay? You get healed. You get yourself healed before God. Let God deal with the rest. The next point, no one can make you keep a dirty wound. You must choose to let the scalpel of the Lord come in and cut away the infected tissue. You must allow him to use his sutures, which may come in the form of forgiveness, of love, which hides a multitude of sins. That's from 1 Peter 4:8. The word of God, which is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, Hebrews 4:12, comes in the form of hope, which makes us not ashamed, Romans 5:5, and faith, which is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, Hebrews 11:1. And finally, and I love this part, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, Philippians 4:7, to mend us back together again. See, when you get to that peace, boy, you know the healing is taking place because now you have peace. You know, you can see the person and you're not all messed up from it. You have peace. You have peace. And God can do it. God can do it. I'm just reminded of Joyce Meyer's testimony. Many of you have heard her testimony about the abuse she suffered from her father. Boy, she said, you know, it took her a while. You know, she would feel emotional and all that stuff. But God eventually healed everything to the point where she bought him a home. She just forgave all the stuff that went on. You know, you can't imagine it, but boy, when the Holy Spirit brings the healing, it is done completely, folks. It is done completely. No more grudges. That's not us. That's not the children of the living God. We forgive and we let God sort it out. We let God keep score. You don't have to keep score. God will keep score. You don't have to hold that burden. It's a burden to keep score, you know. So let it go and let the Lord heal you. And when that peace comes, oh my goodness, you know it. It don't bother you anymore. The enemy can't heal. Push that button. Push on that scar. Push on that scar. No pain. No pain. You know, in fact, it's tougher than the other part of my arm, you know. No pain, because the complete healing has come and he covered it in peace that passes all understanding. I love that, because it passes all understanding. People cannot figure you out. How in the world can you be nice to them? It passes their understanding, you know, but it keeps your heart and it keeps your mind. Through Christ Jesus. You see all that goes together? See, Jesus understands how we were put together. Body, soul, spirit. And that's where this word is so inspired. Boy, is this the human being owner's manual or what? The Bible is the human being owner's manual. Oh, man, these words, they just help you to understand things. And finally, we'll leave it there and we'll finish up next time. Tertiary intention. The word tertiary denotes something that is third in order or level. In medicine, it refers to the need for care beyond the primary to the specialist. Wound healing by tertiary intention is required for a wound that has been open so long that it now must be left open to heal from within due to the high risk of infection if it's closed. Okay, so in this wound, there's no cutting anything away or anything like that because it's just gaping open. And I compare this to like a bed sore. If you've ever seen a bed sore, that's that kind of wound. I mean, the skin is gone, you know, and it's just open, it's festering, you know, and you can't close it. You know, there's no way to close this type of wound because it's been open. They've been lying on it for so long, and all the tissue is gone, so the new tissue must grow in there
to close it up. And we have those type of wounds too, where things have happened so deeply and we have been in it so long that it takes time and healing. But again, Jesus can take care of that too. I love him because he's so patient with us and he will work with you. Don't ever think he gives up on you or he walks away or he's tired and the wound is too stinky and smelly and, oh, he doesn't want to be bothered with me. That's a lie. He will stay and he will dress it every day. He will come and he will attend to it. That's what the docs and the nurses have to do. They have to attend to that thing every day, sometimes two or three times a day. You have to attend to it. You have to turn the person so that they're not putting pressure. I mean, all this care is taken when you have a tertiary wound like this. Beloved, be encouraged if you have this type of wound. For his word says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:6. That's his promise to you. He will continue to work on you. People may walk away and give up, but never think Jesus does. Jesus will come back. Let's tend to it again. I know it goes all the way back to your childhood. I know what happened. Come on, let's talk about it. Let's go a little further on it. Jesus will never grow tired or weary of attending your wounds, but like any good physician, he will always work toward its healing and not just its maintenance. Some people in your life maintain your wounds. And you may not need to know who they are. You know, they like you being vulnerable and down because they can control you and they can keep you in a certain state. But Jesus wants you healed. Jesus wants you capable. Jesus is going to work toward the healing. And sometimes those people around you might resist because they like just taking care of you and they like keeping you down here, you know. But allow the Holy Spirit, man, start reading your word, start reading your Bible, and you'll see how that healing will come in your life. You know, so again, he will always work toward its healing and not just its maintenance. And finally, it says, can you list some of the spiritual medicines you may need to bring healing to your wounds? Take the time in thoughtful prayer and allow the Holy Spirit to teach you and show you why you need each medicine and where it needs to be applied. The medicine cabinet is within the fruit of the Spirit. Let me say that again. The medicine cabinet is within the fruit of the Spirit, and it's love, it's joy, it's peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And if I can add one more medicine, the Word of God. Like that's almost like a dressing. That's like the bandage. The Word of God that puts on and just helps you to grow and grow and grow. So, again, guys, as we go further in war room and doing warfare, it's so important that we get that healing piece done so we don't have those vulnerabilities where the enemy can hit us while we're in the middle of warfare. So anybody have any questions or comments?
We know that the Word of God is medicine to all our flesh. Proverbs 4:22 tells us that. But this really took me back where you talked about David's spirit talking to his soul. I'm like, well, it's been already 5 years, and I still live in that psalm today, but the Lord gave me Psalms 103 when I was going through cancer, and my soul, or my spirit, commanded my soul. I prayed that whole chapter over me every day, and I still do it today, too, but it says, bless the Lord, you know, bless the Lord, oh my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Well, we don't forget his benefits, you know. And it says, number one, he heals us. Forgives us of all our iniquities. So that made the door open for me to receive my healing. And then he healed me of all my diseases. He redeemed my life from destruction. He redeemed my life from death, from the power of the death of cancer. You know, and I mean, I just can go on and on with that, but that's just that it's commanding our soul to bless the Lord. But yes. Thank you for that. That was
going to say that, because even that's a command of the Spirit to the soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. You know, it's a command from the Spirit, you know. Yes, yes. Because your mind is on the diagnosis, and your will is to want to sit there and feel sorry for you, so just sit there, you know, and your emotions are like, oh, he's sad, you know, and oh my goodness, the spirit man gets up and says, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name, and forget not his benefits, who heals my diseases. I mean, folks, you got to get that spirit man to work, you know, just like David, command, your spirit will stand up and command the soul and the body to straighten up. Anybody?
I just wanted to say, when someone gives their mind, they don't want to forgive, they don't want to stop, they just go and go and go. I mean, I want to find just one scripture to tell this couple, you know, that I see them as their mind is a disease now, a cancer. And I just like, it just tears me apart. I just pray. And they just like, oh, but God's not real.
You can pray, because what you're dealing with, because the root of bitterness is set up, you know.
Yes.
And now, you know, spirits are operating there. You know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. You know, so your warfare is to pray down those spirits and those principalities. Take authority over them in Jesus' name so that they can hear the voice of God, so they can hear, you know, because those spirits are in their ears, you know. And so you have to take authority over those demons. Pray for both of them. You know, take authority.
Yes. Stop.
Yeah. And what you're describing is the manifestation of it. You know, so shift your mind over to the expectancy of their deliverance by dealing, first of all, rebuking those spirits. Lord, I just take authority over those spirits, because they don't have even the mind probably to pray against those spirits. So that's why we pray, folks. That's why we're here. Because we see it, and then you take authority and pray for them. I take authority over these demons in the name of Jesus. I cast it down. You know, and it's every day. Cast it down. Cast it down in the name of Jesus. And then start praying, Lord, send someone to minister. You know, sometimes, you know, they see you come and they know what you're going to say. But ask the Lord, send someone to minister. The Lord will send all kind of ways to minister to people. I've seen them happen. I just stop talking. They see me coming. They don't want to hear me. But then the Holy Spirit will send folks and send messages from television to radio. I've seen it come from all kind of places. And then they'll come ask you, what does this mean? You know, and then you have the opportunity. It'll happen. I'm telling you, but first you got to go into warfare on their behalf. And cast down, take authority over those demons in the name of Jesus. He gave it to you. So you cast down those demons so the Holy Spirit can start ministering. It's war. Yes, it is. It is war. It is war. Yeah. And I know it sounds like someone you love. This is a loved one. You know, and, you know, yes, it gets in our heart that, yes, I can do that. Just crying over people like, oh, God. You know, but I had to, at some point, just like David, you got to get up, wash your face, and go into warfare. You know, you got
to.
Yes, yes.
I can remember my early days in university prison. We were shown different kinds of wounds. After just one topic, no matter how small the wounds, you got to take care of it right then. And that's the way it was saying, no matter how little tiny sin or offense, you got to take care of it, because if you don't, it will continue to get bigger and bigger and bigger until it has, God has to do surgery on you. When he does surgery, it stops. Yeah, it's so important. It's just a scratch. No, it's just a scratch. But I see it to be just a scratch. Yeah. And that scratch will open up to a major surgery.
Scratch, but man, or a bruise, I said, that thing can get infected, and you could lose your arm if you don't take care of it, you know. So yes, you gotta deal with sin.
Lately, I've been going to the prayer war room, and I can't even pray. All I do is wait, and I wait, and I wait. And then the other day, I said, Lord, I said, forgive me for not praying. Jesus, what do you mean for doing?
Oh, you know what you remind me of?
That scripture that says the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. So yeah, that is a part of praying. Because I remember the old saints back in my church, and some of those times those old ladies, they would just be and no words, you know. And sometimes that's the Holy Spirit making those intercessions. So keep making the intercession.
You know, praying and praying and standing in the gap for your children and your family members. Trust that the Lord is doing the work. My children. My son called me the other day and he said, Mom, you know, I met this guy at the gym and he was reading scripture to me and you know, he was ministering to him and he was so happy. He came home and got out his Bible again. It was amazing. So don't stop. Don't stop. God will send somebody in their life and
great for my daughter to agree. All the mamas agree, and all the mothers agree in the name of Jesus. Don't give up. Don't give up. We all agree. I know what you're talking about. The Lord will send people from the highways and the byways where they never expected it will come. You know, but you stay in warfare. That Rose said, if you're just sitting there weeping, and then the Holy Spirit is doing the intercession. Oh, man. Beautiful. As I said, the fervent,
effectual prayer is when the Holy Spirit is involved. You know, that's the fervent, effectual prayer that avails much. So keep doing it.
You know, now that you were doing this lesson, you spoke about that. How do you pronounce it, Aaron?
Tertiary intention.
In 2012, I decided to move to Washington, Oak Harbor, Washington. Anyway, I packed up my car and I went. And I felt it was the Lord leading me. And I went, I drove all the way up there by myself. I got there and I have two daughters that live in Oak Harbor, Washington. And they started talking about their father. And to my amazement, they'd mention his name or I would see his picture and I'd start crying and I couldn't control the weeping. So I had to go in prayer and I had to tell the Lord, what is going on? I have forgiven my first husband over 21 years ago. But he showed me that deep down, I hadn't forgiven him. And that's brought up what you were saying today. And so then he called me and he stated to me, I realized I had to come back and sell my house. And just settle some stuff before I, you know, went back. But anyway, my ex-husband called me and he told me, I'm going to send you some money. He sent me money. I came back. And I've been married twice. And I went through a divorce with my second husband. And my first husband tells me, he calls me and he says, meet me at the courthouse on the second floor. I said, is everything okay? He said, yeah. So I hit him and he told me, I'm going to give you a house and we're going to sign the papers now. I said, whoa. He said, it's the home that we lived in when the girls were little. I had four daughters from it. So he took me down there. He says, now don't get scared when I open the door. So he opened the door and no ceilings, you know, spider webs. Oh yeah, this is fine. I told him. And he says, don't worry, I'm going to fix it up for you. He fixed it up for me. And he has blessed me with a vehicle, a washer, a hair conditioner. I mean, we're just friends, but the Lord just really, really blessed me.
Hallelujah. And I say again, he will do exceedingly abundantly above.
That
you can ask her things. In the name of Jesus, I'm telling you, thank you. Thank you all for sharing. You know, it's just real life, just showing what the Lord is doing, what the Lord has done. He wants all of us healed, you know, and he will heal us, and he doesn't leave us. He doesn't forsake us. He doesn't give up on us. So let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for your healing, Lord God. We know it's by your grace, Lord. We know we don't deserve what you do for us, Lord God. But we thank you that you do. Lord, we just pray, Lord God, that our hearts would be open and receptive as you heal us, Lord God. Father, I pray that we would grow up and mature in the Holy Spirit, Lord God, that we would not let little slights and little offenses keep us having wounds open. Oh, Lord, we would close them immediately. And not only that, we will encourage others to close wounds immediately, Lord God. Father, that we would minister to them and that we will always minister forgiveness and we will always minister love, oh, Lord, to our brothers and sisters and not instigate and hold wounds open, Lord God. Oh, Father, that's not us, Lord God. So, Father, we just pray right now in the name of Jesus that you move by your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, move. We cannot do this because we are human, Lord God. We are weak. We are flesh and blood, Lord God. But when your Holy Spirit comes, oh, it makes all the difference. Makes all the difference. So we ask, Holy Spirit, come. Come into our prayer life. We invite you into our prayer life so that our prayers can be effectual and fervent and avail much, Lord God. As mothers, we pray for our children, Lord God. Oh, Lord, oh, God, sometimes our only place of ministering to them is in our prayer closet. So, Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, come into the prayer closet as we minister to our loved ones, Lord God. That we see them and we weep and our heart breaks, Lord God. But, Lord, we're in our war rooms, Lord God, praying that the difference is made in the name of Jesus. We cast down and we take authority over demons and devils in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, you said greater is he that is within us than he that is within the world. And we take authority in the name of Jesus and cast down the demons and devils. We pray, we agree with Marie today for her loved one in the name of Jesus. We take authority over the enemy in the name of Jesus. Over those loved ones, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we cast those spirits back to the pit of hell. Oh, Lord, that they would receive and they would hear. We pray, Lord, on top of that, you send ministry their way. Oh, Lord, you send ministry their way, Lord, and we expect the testimony. We expect to see it, Lord. Oh, Lord, I pray, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, for our children, we pray. We lift them up. We thank you for all the testimonies, Lord. We're expecting our children to receive you, Lord God. You said you would save us and our household. Lord God, we pray for our children. We lift them up to you in the name of Jesus. I agree with every parent in this room. Oh, Lord, that their children be saved. We take authority over demons and devils that lie to them and try to steal them away, it won't be done in the name of Jesus. They will be restored in the name of Jesus. The truth that they have been taught, Lord God, oh Lord, will rise up in their hearts and their spirits. Oh Lord, send people to minister to them. In Jesus' name we praise. Oh, we expect you. In Jesus' name, amen.